You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. No Dave Kellner this week, no Mike Grenham either. They're both on holiday, so it's Mark Walton filling in the presenter's chair. But luckily we do have one of the triumvirate of golf experts on this podcast still involved. Mr. Dave Tindall, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you. Feeling a little bit lonely, but I'm sure you can, you can cheer me up and keep me company.
I'll try and muddle through this. In terms of competitions this week, we've got the Joburg Open in the European Tour, and we've got the Honda Classic to look forward to in the PGA Tour. We'll move on to those in due course later on in the piece, but a little bit of reflection on last week and a little bit of news to take out of it as well. The Genesis Open, we'll start with Mike's pick there. Bill Haas went well for a long time through the tournament, a 66-1 pick from Mike, ended up fading into tied 11th in the end, so a little bit unfortunate in the end there, but a good pick nonetheless.
Yeah, just I think a couple of shots and he would have got a place, so it was touch and go, one of those ones all the way through, and he just didn't get it done at the end, so a shame, but yeah, any time you've got a 66-1 shot on the fringes is good.
Yeah, keeps you interested, doesn't it? And it got tricky towards the end there, didn't it? Didn't they play 36 holes?
It was weather affected from the start, and then Friday was a bit of a washout, and then they were catching up. So the leaders did have to play 36 on the Sunday, and the normal kind of in-play advice there is don't back the fat bloke, because 36 holes can be a bit of a slog. But we saw it didn't really matter. Justin Johnson was head and shoulders above the rest of the field, and he'd won it a long way out. I think he birdied his last three holes of his third round, then opened up with more birdies in round four, and that had put it to bed, and he just sort of coasted round and won by a mile.
Yeah, cruised to a five-shot victory at the Genesis Open in the end. Much to your chagrin, I suppose, as well, because it wasn't either play you didn't want to
I'm
win last
pretty
week.
Sure. Sometimes you sort of black these things out. Did that happen? But I think I put him up as I don't want him to win.
Okay.
I think, to be fair, let's call it good bookmaking, because Mark had said did make him a short price. I don't think he wanted to lay him.
Right.
And that proved correct.
Well, he got it right then. Well done to him. Big effect on the world rankings as well, because on the back of that, Dustin Johnson is now the new world number one. He's leapfrogged Jason Day in the standings there, and he's talking of his aim to be at the top for a while. Can he do it?
Yeah, it seems to be a bit of a hot potato, the world number one. We've got so used to Tiger being there forever, and then we've had Rory, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day. Jason Day was kind of there to be shot at, I think, because he had a bit of a bad back at the end of last year. He hasn't really got going this year, so just needed someone in hot form, and Dustin Johnson was the man. And in theory, he's kind of the biggest hitter of all that lot, the most athletic ability. I mean, if you watch his swing, you cannot replicate his swing at all. You just can't get yourself into that position. So he's a bit of a freak, but he's more than just big hitting. He's got a lot of game. He's got a short game that people kind of underestimate because they get so sort of wowed by his long hitting. And yeah, you don't become number one unless you're absolutely massive talent. And he's got his life sorted out away from the course. He's married to Wayne Gretzky's daughter, Pauline Gretzky, just had a new family, so his head's in the right place. Because with him, he had all the talent in the world. It was just his head was a bit not quite there. But now he's got that focus. Yeah, it's kind of, wow, what a player.
Isn't that a big thing in golf? I can't remember what they call it now, but when a golfer has a child, doesn't they suddenly...
The nappy factor,
The nappy factor, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, see, it's a good effect there. Obviously, it was his first major last year, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah, last June, yeah. So he's got a major now. And that was the 10th. This is now the 10th straight year he's had a win on tour. So he's been doing this a long time.
Fair enough. So we have a new world number one. Well done to Dustin Johnson. We'll move on to this week's tournaments now. And we'll start with the European Tour, as I'm informed we usually do on the golf podcast. So we've got the Joburg Open to look forward to, the Royal Kensington and Johannesburg Golf Club. It's co-sanctioned by the European Tour and the Sunshine Tour. It's Interesting the way they use the course here, because it's played over the both the west and east courses over the first two rounds, and the final two rounds are played on just the east course. A little bit of a difference between the two courses as well. The east is a par 72 over 7,646 yards, whereas the easier west is over 7,203 yards and a par 71. So I suppose from a punting angle, you'd kind of want your fella to be on the west side, west course to start with, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a bit like that. We had a similar thing on the PGA Tour a couple of weeks back with the Farmers Insurance Open. They get three rounds at the tough south course. They go south and north, where Europe goes east and west. So they had three tough rounds on the south course, and then you get the easier course that you play once in the first two rounds. So if you look at the score, if you've backed to play, you want him to really cash in on it, on his kind of easier day, maybe shoot at 64, 65. And that obviously has an effect on... on first round betting, if you're having a bet on the first round,
yeah,
obviously make sure your fella's on the easier course.
Yeah,
goes without saying, but yeah, just, you know, check those tee times and where they are.
Yes, very valid point.
I'm not sure it matters which order you play it in. You know, you might get a really windy day, and then which maybe makes it harder to score on the easier course. So it's not necessarily which one you play first, but just when you do play it, cash in.
Mm. Okay, so a little bit of news about the course there in South Africa. I just want to mention as well, before we get into the betting for the tournament, it's a good opportunity as well to qualify for the Open Championship. If you do well in this tournament, there's more chance of getting an entry into the Open Championship.
I think it's the top three who haven't already got a place, they normally get through in this. So it's kind of a bit of a bonus prize.
Yeah, a little bit of an extra fillip.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's have a quick look at the betting then before we move on. And Brandon Stone heads the market at 12-1 here at William Hill. George Curtsey is 16-1. Jacko van Zyl is 16-1 as well, as is Richard Stern. Dean Burmester is 20-1, 20-1 for Jordan Smith and Thomas Aiken. Hao Tong Lee is 25-1, 28-1 Anthony Wall, and 40-1 bar those. One thing I would suggest looking for here, if you've taken recent years into account, is somebody who's got a chance towards the top of the market, and that's South African, because seven of the last nine winners have been South African players.
Yeah, if you look at the betting as well, you've got six of the first seven in the betting are South African, so they have... home advantage that they've made it count. I mean, you look at the winners there, they've been... it's not just kind of random South Africans there. They're sort of the big name ones. So, yeah, I think those prices are pretty fair. You've got Charles Schwartz, who won this a couple of times. Richard Stern, he's won it a couple of times. George Curtsey won it a couple of times. Last year's winner was a bit of a surprise. Hayden Porteous. He was kind of a young lad, only 21 years old. But generally, it goes to one of the sort of classier acts, and obviously the betting reflects that.
Okay. So how many picks have you pulled out for the Joburg Open?
I've got a massive, ludicrously priced one that was 200-1, and I've also got a 20-1 shot.
All right, should we go with a 200-1
shall
shot?
Shall we?
Yeah.
The guy in question at 200-1, there's quite a few at that price, is Chris Swanepoel.
Right.
I don't speak fluid Afrikaans, so I'm not sure if I've said that right, but it's Chris, we know that. why him then?
Yes,
200-1. Yeah, is he obviously your next question? Obviously, he can't be that brilliant if he's 200-1, but, and he's 32, so maybe you think, you know, he's not like some young kid who we don't know about. He's 32, he's had a chance to show what he is. But he played last Sunday. They have this tournament called the Dimension Data Pro-Am on the Sunshine Tour. Used to get a few decent names playing in it. But he came joint runner-up there, so it's a good sign of his current well-being. So I had a look at that and thought, right, okay, maybe the catch is he's just rubbish at this tournament on these courses. But he's not, not at all. 2015, he was tied 7th, and 2012, tied 17th. So he's had two good knocks at this course. So it's one of those ones, you just put a bit of course form and current form together, and then in your head, you start thinking, well, probably given that he's maybe a hundreds, and then you keep going down, scroll. Oh, he's 200s. So in a tournament where you can get a few strange players filling the places, and I think you said, what was it, 7 out of 9 have been home players. Home players certainly have an advantage here. So I just thought half a point on a wild card, 200-1 chance with a bit of logic could be worth a little play.
Yeah, I can see the logic there. We've had quite a few South African players that a lot of people wouldn't know all that much about hitting the frame in recent years as well. In the
that's the sort of thinking. Yeah. I'd probably a bit much to say he's going to win, but he could get a top. By the way, are we still going a fifth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? We've changed our terms of late.
Yes.
We are, which makes me even more excited about that bet.
Oh, calm down.
So he can scrape into sixth place.
Yeah.
I'll be happy as Larry.
Very nice indeed. So that's the adventurous 200 to one park. You said you liked one at shorter odds. Was it around the 20 to 1 mark? Something like that?
Yeah. The guy in question is Thomas Akin, is one of the well-fancied South Africans this week. He's just got a bunch of good form, Thomas Akin. He's been playing really nicely as well. This is in Joburg. He's actually one of the... You know, obviously South Africa, we think of the main cities, Cape Town. He actually is from Joburg, so this is very much a home game. We saw it in Australia last week. Brett Rumford, who won the World Super 6 Perth.
Yeah.
Not only was he from Australia, he was from Perth. And obviously Australia's quite a big country, so similar conditions, I guess. But he really did have the local advantage there, being from Perth rather than Melbourne or Sydney.
Yeah.
So I like Thomas Akin this week. I think he's got a lot going for him. Looking at his form on this course, 10th, 5th, 6th, 24th, 3rd. So he's got a lot. He's placed a lot of times there, obviously.
Yeah.
So he ticks all those boxes in terms of course form. And of late, we've seen him play really well in the other events, the South African, when the European Tour has visited South Africa. He was also tied 4th in Qatar. Now, he's probably maybe a couple of points bigger because he missed the cut in Malaysia on his last start, but given all his other plus points, I think he can sweep that under the table a little bit. Overall, he's got lots going for him, and he probably doesn't win, well, he doesn't win as much as you'd like to, but at 20 to 1, that's kind of a working man's each-way price, so I think he's going to be my each-way pick then. I won't go too overboard, but I'll go a point each-way, Thomas Akin at 20s.
Point each way, Thomas Akin at 20s. Then, what is it, half a point on Chris Swanepoel?
Yeah.
At 200.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the Joburg Open. Anything else you want to add there before we move on to the PGA Tour action?
No, I mean, the other guys, Brandon Stone has won two events in South Africa, you know, co-sanctioned events. So he's probably the best player out of that lot. That's why he's the shortest in the betting. But, you know, you maybe look back in 5 years and you think, wow, was he really 12s to win that event? Because he could be really, really good. He was 7th in Dubai last time. George Coetzee got a good chance. Van Zyl has a good chance, but he's never won in 152 European Tour starts. He's got loads of seconds, so, you know, 16s, you can back him each way. Sterny, the problem with him, he's not played since early December, so you're kind of guessing a bit whether he's a bit rusty. So maybe Stone. Stone's not got the best form at this course yet. I'm sure he will. Coetzee, not in brilliant form. Van Zyl never wins. Sterny's a bit rusty. So that takes me down to Thomas Akin at 20s.
All right, good stuff. Let's move on to the PGA Tour action then. The PGA Tour heads east this week, switching over to Florida. $6.4 million in the prize fund as well for the Honda Classic. It's played at the PGA National Golf Club Champion Course, which is a par 70. And it's, I'm wisely informed before we started recording this, the hardest par 70 outside of the majors as well by the man on my right-hand side there, Dave. Tell us why it's so hard. Why is it so difficult, this course?
It's very windy, so it's kind of exposed to the wind in there in Florida. There's a lot of water in play. So with errant shots, that you don't just bogey them, you can double bogey them if they land in the water. So you've just got to really be on your game. It's just one way you've got to grind it out. If you look at the winning score... We're so used to winning scores on the PGA Tour being sort of minus 15, 16, 17, even climbing into the 20s. This one, more often than not, I think maybe 8 times out of 10, has been won with single digits under par. So that is a grind. They really have to find their A games, the play. You can't just turn up. I think there's a quote from Ricky Fowler saying you can't fake it around this course. You've got to be absolutely on your game.
We'll move on to Ricky Fowler in a moment or two. I wanted to raise a point about that.
Yeah,
7,158-yard par 70 as well. It's not the longest, but it's a tricky one.
Yeah, it's just you've just got to really be careful. You can't overpower it. You've just got to really give it respect. And, you know, any time you shoot 70 or 69 is a very good score.
Tell me about the bear trap.
The bear trap,
yeah.
Yes.
Famous for the bear trap.
Yeah, the bear trap is that really tough finish. You've got the par 3 15th, the par 4 16th, and the par 3 17th. Water in play. It's one of those ones you back to play, you see him on the tee and you see the ball in the air and you just think, don't go in the water, don't go in the water. Not often the wind, it's really windy as well. So it is one of those ones you just want to get your player through those. Take three pars, thank you, and then move on. So, yeah, it is a tough final little stretch that in this tournament, and often where it can be won or lost.
Okay. Looking forward to seeing that that come into play. Just want to go back to the Ricky Fowler point as well. He's kind of eased his way into the 2017 schedule, but has committed to play at the Honda Classic, and quite a good international field coming together as well, including last year's champion Adam Scott. It looks a real good lineup.
Yeah, you've got Sergio Garcia there as well. Rory would have been there, but he's still not fully fit.
Playing golf with Donald Trump, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
We could have a separate podcast about the merits of doing that, but we won't.
We probably shouldn't, yeah.
Yeah, we won't. Yeah, so Ricky Fowler does play this course really well. He was the halfway leader last year when he shot an opening pair of 66s. I think he's got a sixth and a seventh there. Played well in Phoenix last time, where he didn't have a bogey in his last 44 holes, so that's the kind of solid play you want to bring to this course.
Yeah.
So he's a decent bet, Ricky Fowler, at 16-1. I wouldn't put anyone off him. Maybe he's a tiny bit short. I'm going to look a bit further afield, bigger price for my... Just one bet in this tournament, but Fowler's definitely of the market. Front of the market, he's the one I like, I have to say.
Let's spin through the front of the market then. Adam Scott, as we mentioned, the defending champion, 12-1. Justin Thomas, 16-1 with Ricky Fowler and Sergio Garcia. It's in 25s for Daniel Berger. Lou Yousthuizen is 28-1, 28-1 for Russell Knox as well. 33s, Gary Woodland, Paul Casey, Thomas Peters and Tyrrell Hatton. It's then 40-1, Brandon Grace, Brendan Steele and Brooks Koepka. Charles Howell also in there at 40s, as are Kevin Kisner and Zach Johnson. Then 50-1 or bigger prices for the others. You probably should mention Danny Willett there, shouldn't that? 50-1 and bigger prices for, in fact, Jason Duffner, Jimmy Walker, Keegan Bradley, mention them all. They're all 50-1 and bigger prices for the others.
Although you might not mention my 50-1 shot.
Right, you've gone for a 50-1
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, it's as if we've planned this. Yes. There's another 50-1 shot that you've not mentioned, Mark.
Which one is it?
Well, funny you should ask. It's Russell Henley.
Right.
Who I think, had Mike or Dave been here, I think they would have put him up as well.
Really?
So I feel like I'm channeling them in some ways.
Channel your inner Mike and
yeah, Dave. So it's a sort of group bet, but I'm on my sort of, I'm going to articulate it for everybody. So 50-1, Russell Henley. He's won here before, which is obviously a very good sign. I do like course form on this layout. I think it's one where you see the same sort of players doing well. You see a lot of people who've won the Open do well here. Padraig Harrington, who hadn't won for ages, came and won this a couple of years ago. And that's because, it's tough, B, it's very windy, and it's just a course that really is a mental test as much as anything. So Russell Henley did come through and win this. It was a four-man playoff when Russell Henley won a couple of years ago. 2014, didn't play so well when he defended it, but it's always hard to defend the title. And then last year he returned here and was in dreadful form, so I'm happy to overlook that. Big thing with when the tour moves from the west coast to the east is the change in the grass. It's Bermuda grass. It's kind of a coarser, thicker grass.
Yep.
Some people just put well on it, others don't. Russell Henley, actually, there's a quote here: when I come over here to some Bermuda grass, I look down and feel like it's what I've been doing my whole life. Well, I hope there's been more to his life than looking at Bermuda grass, but you know what he's saying. He's saying he feels very comfortable putting on these greens. And the other thing you really need to do well here is hit the greens in regulation. I'm sure Mike would have made this point. He's always keen to point out when a course requires really solid iron play. And he's really hitting his ball well at the moment, Russell Henley. He was fourth for greens in regulation at the Sony Open, ninth for greens in reg in Phoenix, 13th and 16th respectively in those two events. So he's really got his irons dialed in, really got good greens and regulation numbers, also got good ball striking figures, which takes into account off the tee as well as the iron to the green. So I just think he's going to return to a course he's won on in really, really good shape. So I was a little bit surprised, pleasantly surprised to see him at 50-1 in a tournament where he does really, really do well, obviously. As well as winning that, he was 13th on his debut here. So I think he's always had this good vibes around this course. On the web.com tour, the one lower down, he won the Jacksonville Open, which is another Florida event. So this is kind of the time to back him, I think. He struggles a bit on the West Coast. So he'll be one of these ones licking his lips, right, tours on the East Coast in Florida. Well, it's time for me to get going. So I think 50-1 is a really nice each-way price on Russell Henley.
Nice. I quite like it. You mentioned in there that Russell Henley didn't play so well when trying to back it up. I know it's probably a common theme in a lot of golf tournaments, but not many people do back up in this. I think the last person to win back-to-back tournaments was Jack Nicklaus all the way back in 1977 and 78.
Yeah, and that would have been at a different venue as well.
Yeah exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always hard to do that on this course. And as well, I mean, you could arrive 1 year and it's incredibly windy. Maybe the next year it's not so much. But the forecast I've seen, it's windy-ish, maybe at most on the final day. So maybe that'll sort the men from the boys, maybe.
Okay, so Russell Henley then, the selection there in the PGA Tour event, the Honda Classic. Any other markets that you like away from the outright market for either of these tournaments? Or I know there's many ways into a few of these.
Obviously, having put Chris Swanepoel up at 200-1, you could be a bit more prudent and back him for... have we got top 10, I think we have?
Yeah, for the Joburg, yeah.
Yeah, back him for a top 10 if you think winning it is too silly. He'll be about 20s, maybe 16-1. Is for a top 10, so maybe if you want to lower your sights a little bit, that's still a big price if he lands that.
Yeah,
he could trundle in ninth and win you a really nice amount, so that's a possibility there. You could look at Henley in the top 10 for the Honda Classic as well. First round leader is one of those ones we talked about. It makes sense, obviously, to do it on the easier course.
Yeah,
on in South Africa, on this one, first round leader. Keep an eye on the weather forecast. Often it pays to go out early, maybe beat the wind. Wind will pick up in the afternoon. So again, you're probably looking at someone with an early tea time.
Okay. Henley 4-1, by the way, to finish in the top 10 of the Honda Classic.
Yeah, that's an option. But the fact that he's won here before, I think there's more scope there to be a bit more aggressive with your bet and go for the big one.
All right. Any players you don't want to win either of those events then to finish off with?
I think if Brandon Stone won in South Africa, I'd sort of kick myself a little bit because I've kind of said he's the best player. His course form is just a little bit below ideal to get involved at 12, but if he did win at 12, I'd be chuntering.
Chuntering, yeah. Anybody you don't want to win the Honda Classic?
Yeah, I mean, you could pick any of those top four, really. Scott, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Garcia. Garcia was runner-up to Scott last year. Ricky Fowler's done really well here before. Justin Thomas was third last year. So you've got all those. I mean, Thomas has won twice this year on the PGA Tour. Garcia won in Dubai recently. So you can't do anything but kick yourself with one of those wins because their form is really exposed. But it's just I can't quite pick... At the prices we've got, I can't quite settle on any one of them, so instead I'll ignore all of them. That kind of thinking.
Right, I'm not sure that's always the easiest logic to figure out, but you've got a 50-1 chance on your side, hopefully, throughout though. So,
Fowler would be the one. Fowler's the one. He's just maybe a tad short at 16, but I wouldn't. If you want to back him, go ahead, because I think he does have a big chance this week. Maybe. A lot of these, because they've already won this season, you've seen Thomas win twice, Garcia win, you saw Dustin Johnson win, you've seen Hideki Matsuyama win. It's kind of all the kind of young, bright guns are winning, so Ricky Fowler might just think, right, my turn.
Okay. Hopefully not then, for your sake.
Yes. With these, it's an interesting point. Why we don't just go out of this room here where we've done the podcast and say, do you know what, let's just back them. Let's just back these. I don't want
saver.
To win.
Have a saver at 16-2. Yeah. You can have a saver.
I know.
Yeah,
you might have talked me into it, Mark.
Okay. So just have a little saver maybe on Ricky Fowler then. Anything else you want to add before we go? I think that's pretty much us done.
Yeah, just a quick one about the event, World Super 6 Perth last week. It was quite an interesting one where they play 54 holes of match play and then it went into stroke play. I quite like that.
Right.
I thought it worked quite well. Because the danger of match play is all the best players go out in round one and then it kind of just gets worse as it goes on. But by having three rounds of stroke play, there was no excuse. You've got everyone had the chance to play well, and then you got a more exciting final day. It's like any big sport. It's like the World Cup in football. I love the round, the kind of group stage, because you're getting three games a day. It's all happening.
Yeah.
And then it kind of gets down to the semis and final, and there's that there's a lot of days where it's not happening. You feel like you've become addicted to it, and you think, oh, where has it gone? And then the final's often dreadful, isn't it? So with this one, I think a lot of action was happening on the Sunday, so it did feel it was building towards something rather than just sort of getting a bit petering out.
Okay.
So hopefully, and it did work in the fact that the guy who was leading after 54 holes then went on to win.
Yeah.
So that it just helped make it a bit more authentic. So yeah, hopefully we'll see a bit more of that.
It works out well in that respect, doesn't it? Because if he's very good for the first 54 holes, then it comes down to stroke play and he falls apart, then it kind of rubs the gloss off it a little bit, doesn't it?
It does, although you could argue that, couldn't you? You could argue in like any spot like rugby league, you could win the regular season and then be useless in the
playoffs.
In the playoffs, possibly. Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't like.
Yeah, so it's there in other sports, so it's an interesting one.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dave. It's been a pleasure. Do you want to remind the listeners of your Twitter handle or anything if they want to get in touch?
Yes, at Dave Tindall Golf. I'll just run through the bets again. So in South Africa, I'm going to go a point each way. Who am I going for? Thomas Aiken at 20-1 and half a point each way on Chris Swanepoel at 200-1. Both of those are a fifth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And in the Honda Classic in America, I will go a point each way on Russell Henley at 50-1.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Dave. Good luck. And
cheers.
Enjoy it this week.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Dave Tindall on this week's golf action. Then hopefully Mike and Dave Kellner will be back next week as well. So we'll have the band back together for next week's golf podcast. So do tune in again then. For this week, good luck if you're having a bet, and enjoy this week's golf action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.